I've already suggested that there is a linguistic connection between meditation and medicine, but there also are many practical reasons why meditation can be used as a means of improving health. Let me say first, however, that I think there can be many goals of meditation practice, and improving health is certainly one that's important, but from other vantage points, it may not be the most important or even a very important goal of meditation practice. For example, in religious traditions and spiritual traditions, improvements in health might be seen as not particularly lofty goals of meditation practice. On the other hand, if you're working in a hospital setting or an outpatient clinic with patients, it can be an extremely important goal of meditation practice. There actually has been a great deal of medical research on the health benefits of meditation. This has been done, in some cases, at the instigation of and with the funding of particular groups that have a vested interest in a particular kind of meditation. In other cases, it's been done by individual researchers who may have a meditation practice of their own and have seen the benefits in their own lives and want to document this. One of the researchers who has established a reputation in this area is Herbert Benson at Harvard Medical School, who years ago described what he called the relaxation response, which was a set of physiological changes correlated with a particular type of meditation, in this case the techniques of transcendental meditation, which was repetition of a mantra. And the typical changes that were seen were a slowing of heart rate, a slowing of respiratory rate, a decrease in blood pressure. All of these represent an increase in the activity of the parasympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system is one of the two divisions of the autonomic or involuntary nervous system. The other is the sympathetic nervous system. These two involuntary nervous systems have opposite effects. The sympathetic nervous system prepares the body for emergencies, for fight, flight, and fright responses. The parasympathetic nervous system is the opposite effects. Both of these are necessary. They have to be in a state of balance. But I think you could make an interesting argument that many of the ills of modern life represent overactivity of the sympathetic nervous system. High blood pressure, for example, irregular heartbeats, disturbances of digestion, many of the kinds of what are called functional problems in medicine are results of physiological imbalances due to increased sympathetic tone. And I suppose you could say that it's as if the saber-toothed tiger never goes away. You know, that maybe that this nervous system, which evolved to protect us from emergencies, is now so overstimulated by the stresses of modern living that many of us are kept in a state of readiness for emergencies. It's as if the external threat never goes away, so the sympathetic nervous system never fully relaxes. If you can engage the parasympathetic nervous system, increase its activity, you can balance that overactivity of the sympathetic nervous system. And clearly, the relaxation response represents that goal. So this can be activated through breath control. It can be activated through various kinds of guided relaxations. And I think that many of the techniques of meditation are extremely useful here. And that in general, when people meditate, you will see these physiological changes, slowing of heart rate, slowing of respiratory rate, slowing of digestive movement, decreases of blood pressure, and that this is very valuable to us. You know, I don't meet many people in our culture who need stimulation of the sympathetic side of the voluntary nervous system. You know, that's not usually the problem we encounter. Almost always it's that the sympathetic nervous system is too active, and you want to learn how to decrease that activity and increase the activity of the parasympathetic nervous system. So I think, in very simple terms, this is probably the area of greatest medical utility of meditation practice, that it's a way of engaging the relaxation response, of decreasing chronic nervous driving of the cardiovascular and digestive systems, that this can be enormously beneficial in all diseases that have a stress component, or all diseases in which there is an autonomic nervous system imbalance. I, over the years as a medical practitioner, would often diagnose patients with a condition that most of my colleagues didn't recognize. I would call it autonomic nervous system imbalance, and I would write this down in my medical form. I was quite delighted some years ago when I was lecturing in Japan to discover that that is a formal diagnostic category in Japan. If anything, it's probably even more common than in America. But I very much believe that this is a general category of illness that encompasses many of the functional diseases that modern medicine recognizes, as well as being a component of many chronic diseases, and that there is great benefit in recommending meditation practice to medical patients, if only to engage this relaxation response and change the balance between parasympathetic and sympathetic stimulation in the involuntary nervous system. A little bit more about meditation for optimum health. One of the reasons I wanted to do this program was to have a chance to introduce my friend and colleague, Jon Kabat-Zinn. I've known Jon since I was a first-year student at Harvard Medical School. When he was a student at MIT, we had mutual friends. And it has been wonderful over the years to watch our parallel interests grow and have slightly different forms of expression, but be able to come together in very productive ways. I find Jon Kabat-Zinn's writings on meditation and mindfulness to be some of the clearest in the field, some of the most useful. I recommend his books regularly to both doctors and patients. I've learned a great deal from them myself. And both of us are actively engaged in working to help create a new paradigm for medicine of the future, what we call integrative medicine, and have, I think, been very fortunate to be living at a time when academic medicine is forced to be receptive to what we've been arguing for. In medicine today, one of the great deficiencies is the lack of attention to mind-body interactions. And we now have a tremendous array of tools for taking advantage of the mind-body connection, and yet these tools are incredibly underutilized in medical situations today, even though they're cost-effective, effective, even fun for both practitioner and client. And I think a fundamental reason for this is that physicians are not trained in the mind-body area. Jon has been one of the major teachers in this field, and one of the greatest experts at developing actual methods for use in medical settings. It's a pleasure to introduce him, and I very much look forward to hearing what he has to say.